Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Friday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review, who is also author of The Weed Agency. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, and you have joined us on a historic day in the history of the Three Martini Lunch. For the first time ever, three good martinis. Jim, we've had lots of three bad martini days and maybe even a few all crazy days, but all good to end the week.
People might say, really, are things going that well? And the answer is comparatively yes. The bar has been set so low that the three big items of the day, we're like, oh, these are all pretty good news. So let's get started on our the good, the good bad, and the good crazy.
Yeah, exactly. All right, on to the first one. It was just yesterday that our bad martini was discussing the ongoing atrocities committed by ISIS forces in Iraq, persecuting, beheading Christians. We learned throughout the day beheading children in certain areas. Then you've got the Yazidi sect with strains of Zoroastrianism. They've been forced out of their homes of 40,000 approximately up on a mountain, dying of hunger and thirst and blistering heat. Horrific reports of parents not wanting to see their kids starve to death, so they're throwing them off the mountain. And apparently the president listens to the Three Martini Lunch, or at least some other person who was saying, this cannot be allowed to stand, not to mention the threat they pose to national security. So finally, we got this last night from the president.
Today I authorize two operations in Iraq. Targeted airstrikes to protect our American personnel, and a humanitarian effort to help save thousands of Iraqi civilians who are trapped on a mountain without food and water and facing almost certain death.
The airstrikes were specifically limited to protecting U.S. personnel near and in the city of Erbil, and it appears this morning, Jim, that at least a couple of airstrikes have been carried out. So the fact that there is a response is great, and hopefully this won't just be a one-day attention on this story for the administration.
We have had a really miserable summer of really terrible people doing terrible things with little or no consequence. The shooting down of the airliner in eastern Ukraine, Israel and Hamas fighting and using human shields out of, by Hamas, this ISIS, this, you know, one awful thing after another. They're bringing crucifixions. They're effectively religiously cleansing this area. With President Obama prepping for his vacation next week, it looked like we were going to have a new cherry on top of this sequence of events in which, you know, terrible things happen overseas. The U.S. issues a statement about how concerned they are, but does not take any impact on this. Is this a circumstance that we can control completely? No, but you know what? Thanks to the U.S. The U.S. Navy, I said it was Air Force earlier today, the U.S. Navy, there is now aid being dropped to those folks trapped on that mountain, which is, I just think it's the right thing to do. I can't believe anybody would strongly disagree with that. And we are now dropping bombs on ISIS because they're threatening the Kurdish forces. They're threatening some of our people we have working with the Kurdish military over there. And we have a consulate over in that neck of the woods. So, you know, a world with fewer ISIS guys is a better world. And so as a result of that, look, will this stop ISIS? Probably not, not by itself. But you know what? It now says to ISIS, there is a consequence to your acts, and you now have somebody else you have to worry about. But at any given moment, we can, you know, bombs can fall from the sky and there will be less of you. And I think the world took one step closer to a more just world and a slightly safer world because there are several ISIS guys who aren't with us anymore, it would seem, depending when we heard more about how this the airstrikes of today went.
All right, on to the second good martini now, and another great story from National Review's Eliana Johnson. We were just giving her kudos last week on the plagiarism story regarding Montana Senator John Walsh, who, by the way, got out of the race yesterday. But she has another story today on a guy that she's very familiar with, and that's Cory Booker. She had a great series of articles on him when he ran in the special election to replace Frank Lautenberg. Everyone remembers the T-bone fiction that she uncovered. Now she's wondering why, in fact, the Republican Party doesn't seem all that interested in defeating Cory Booker this year, even though some of the polls have it pretty close between Cory Booker, who's extremely well-funded, and Jeffrey Bell, who ran for the Senate in New Jersey a long time ago as well, who has virtually $0, yet it's a fairly competitive race. Even folks like Ted Cruz, not all that interested. It seems like more Republicans are interested in getting into Cory Booker's selfies and getting on the social scene with him. It's just kind of bizarre, Jim. But the good news is that Booker is vulnerable. And if anybody's going to pay attention over the next 3 months, it's possible to take him out.
Yeah, I mean, we shouldn't overestimate this. New Jersey has proven to be a particularly difficult state for Republicans. outside of Chris Christie in really the last two decades, practically. But that Quinnipiac poll came out in the middle of the week. You know, 47% to 37% isn't that much of a lead for a guy who's supposed to be this raving, fantastic superstar. And so I think she just makes a very obvious point of like, hey, you know what? You know, back when he was up against Steve Lonigan, he wasn't, you know, that much of it. So he has superstar reputation and political coverage, winning by 11 points on election day up against, you know, Steve Lonigan, who had like $2 to his name, in a special election in which he was supposed to win big. So, you know, right candidate, right set of circumstances, you could beat Booker. And even if you can't beat him, you can make him earn it, as opposed to turning him into, you know, Captain Bipartisan and everybody eager to reach out and work with him and things like that. Eliana just does great work week in, week out, but, you know, two great weeks. And I think she makes a very solid point. I'd like to see, you know, obviously there's limited resources, but hell, you know, this is one of the most expensive states in the union. Make Democrats spend money to defend Cory Booker, and they'll have less for, you know, Udall and Kay Hagan and Mark Pryor and the rest.
You can probably shuttle a few dollars over from the Montana Fund if you were going to.
That's a good point. Yeah, that one's looking pretty good these days.
All right. On to the good crazy, and just across the river from New Jersey, of course, is New York, where Andrew Cuomo is running for re-election. And at this point, he's still quite heavily favored for re-election. But one of the things he ran on and implemented early on in his first term as governor was this board looking into corruption in Albany. It was mainly looking at state lawmakers, but it also got a little bit too close for comfort for the governor. And as Jason Carroll of CNN reports, the governor's office apparently got a little bit too involved in the probe.
Allegations a top Cuomo aide tried to steer commissioners away from investigating a firm that had worked for the gubernatorial campaign. According to one commissioner, William Fitzpatrick, after talking with that Cuomo aide, he directed that a subpoena to an entity with ties to the governor be withdrawn. Fitzpatrick said initially it was withdrawn, then wrote, "We nonetheless decided to issue the subpoena."
And then Andrew Cuomo himself was asked about this at a press conference recently.
The best evidence of independence is when someone from the second floor says, "Well, why don't you do this?" And then the chairman says, "I disagree. I don't want to do that." That's not a sign of interference. That is demonstrable proof of independence.
Why is that not an attempt to influence an independent commission?
It's called conversation and advice.
So kudos to a mainstream outlet for finally covering this story. And I'm guessing most New Yorkers are not going to like that explanation too well, Jim, that it's independence if you don't take the influence from the governor's office.
Greg, I, Governor Cuomo, am just advising the ethics guys to not investigate me. It's just advice. You know, I told the guy if he knows what's good for him, you know, it's a helpful recommendation if he doesn't want his legs broken or something. And I'm going to be accused of Italian-American stereotyping and all that stuff. On the one hand, do I expect this to lead to the defeat of Governor Cuomo in his reelection bid? I think it's a pretty unlikely scenario. Although, once again, you can make him, you know, make him earn it, make him exert effort. Don't let him waltz to reelection. And also just serious damage to his reputation. There's unbelievable corruption in New York state politics. Albany is a cesspool, and Cuomo was supposed to be the guy who's going to go in there and clean up the town. And he's failing to do that. And he may be just as bad as the rest of them. It looks like he's getting into a real fight with the U.S. Attorney's Office. Much as they used to be for New Jersey Democrats, the opposition party in this state really is the FBI. And we'll see what happens. We'll see if there ends up being some sort of criminal charges that come out of this. If nothing else, this should ruin Cuomo's reputation on the national stage, because he's seen as every bit as much of a problem as the rest of the other dirty politicians in Albany. And with considering the news lately, this the mainstream media noticing this qualifies as a third good martini of the day.
We'll end on that good note. Jim, have a great weekend. We'll talk to you Monday.
See you Monday, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And be sure to join us again on Monday for the next Three Martini Lunch. Have a great weekend, everyone.